Heavenly Father, as we come now to open your word this morning, we have hearts that long to see Jesus more clearly. Lord Jesus, we know that you are faithful and true, the one who rides the white horse of victory. And we ask now that you would help us to understand what this means for our lives. Holy Spirit, we pray that this message would go deep into our hearts. And all this we pray in the loving name of Jesus Christ, our faithful and true Saviour. Amen. So here's a wee story about a man who went to buy a new car. He had been saving up for years, years and years, and he finally had enough money to buy the car that he'd always dreamed of. When he got into the dealership, the salesman showed him a beautiful, shiny new car in the forecourt. "This is it," the salesman said. "This is the car for you. Look at the paint job. Listen to that engine purr. This car will never, ever let you down." The man was impressed. He was really impressed. So he signed the papers. He handed over all his money, and he drove away feeling like a king. But 2 weeks later, the engine started making some very strange noises. I've actually been here at some points with this, I'm sure. A month later, the paint began to peel. 6 months later, the car broke down completely and just would not start. So the man went back to the dealership. He was raging, really annoyed. He said, "You told me this car was reliable. You said it would never let me down." The salesman shrugged and he said, "Yeah, but that's what we tell everyone. Cars break down, mate. That's just how it is." And you know, in that moment, that the man had realized that he had been sold a lie. What had looked so impressive on the surface was actually not worth very much underneath. And how many times do we do this in our lives? We put our trust and our hope in things that promises the world, but sadly deliver very little. We do live in a world full of false promises. How many times have you heard politicians promise to fix everything if we just vote for them? Or advertisers promise happiness if we just buy their products? But in our reading this morning, as we finish this week, our summer preaching series on single verses from the Bible, on the faithfulness of God, this is from Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. The disciple John shows us something completely different. This week is about God's ultimate faithfulness. And the reading that Brenda read for us says this: "I saw heaven stand open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war." Faithful and true. That's what Jesus is called here, faithful and true. I think sometimes when we read Revelation, it can be really easy to get mixed up in all the imagery. The white horse, the rider with eyes like flames of fire, the sword coming from his mouth. Revelation's the final book in the Bible, and it was a vision that the disciple John was given while he was exiled on the prison island of Patmos. Revelation's basically a vision that God gives to John, showing how history will end. And in this vision, God gives hope to people who are living through pressure and persecution. He's trying to remind them that although it may look as if evil is winning, Jesus is ultimately in control and will have the final victory. That's a great lesson for us. It might look as if evil is winning, but Jesus is ultimately in control and will have the final victory. The book of Revelation, it uses all sorts of pictures, symbolic pictures, you know, beasts, dragons, seals, trumpets, battles, to describe a conflict between God's kingdom and the forces that are opposed to him. And you know, this isn't just about some future battle at the end of time, although it definitely is that, but it's also for us today. This is also about who Jesus is right now and what he means for us today. You see, the world that John was writing to was very similar to our world. It was full of people who claimed to be trustworthy, but sadly they were not. The Roman Empire, they promised peace, but they brought violence and they brought oppression for the people. False teachers, they would promise great spiritual enlightenment, but instead they just took people into confusion and despair. So the people that John was writing to, they were tired, they were persecuted, they were more than a bit fed up, and they were probably wondering if Jesus really was who he claimed to be. After all, if Jesus really was the Son of God, why were they suffering so much? Why wasn't he doing something about the injustice and pain in the world? And John's answer is the vision of Jesus as the faithful and true rider on the white horse. But here's what's really important. This isn't a different Jesus from the one that we read about in the Gospels. It's the same Jesus, just seen from a different angle. Paul the Apostle writes about this, Philippians chapter 2. He tells us that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So the same Jesus who's called here faithful and true in Revelation, the one is the same one who humbled himself by coming in human form and even dying on a cross. And what Paul has shown us is that Jesus will one day return as the conquering king. But it's the same Jesus who came as a humble servant. Jesus' faithfulness, it wasn't shown by avoiding the cross. It was shown by going to the cross. Think about this morning. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to keep your promises, even when it's hard. It means to stick by someone, even when they let us down. That's hard, isn't it? Stick by someone when they let us down. And you know, that's one of the reasons that we take vows when we get married, we take vows, don't we? Because sadly, we all break promises and we all let people down, especially those closest to us. The ones that we love the most sometimes can be the ones that we let down the most. That's also the reason why you take vows. I say many, you know, ministers take vows when they're being set apart, because the road ahead is not always a straight road. It's not a smooth road. There'll be challenges. And you know, Jesus proved his faithfulness by going to the cross for us. We know that at any time he could have got off that cross. His divine power could have been used, and he could have got down from that cross, but he didn't. He stayed faithful to his mission to save us, even when it meant suffering and death. And what does it mean to be true? It means to be genuine, the real deal. It means that there's no gap between what we claim to be and what we really are. And that's a struggle. We know that. Real struggle. You've heard me saying before, if people say to me all the time, I hear it and write in my journey, I'm no coming to church, it's full of hypocrites. I'm no coming to church, it's full of hypocrites. And after you say, come in, there's room for one more, which is quite funny, you can say to them, absolutely, of course, because none of us live to the standard that we even set for ourselves, let alone the standard that a holy God would set for us to live. None of us, absolutely none of us live up to that. And you've heard me saying before, you know, a good answer to that is a guy called Frank Turek that I watch a lot and I listen to him and I read his stuff. He said if someone plays Beethoven really badly on the piano, you don't hate Beethoven for it. It doesn't change who Beethoven is. If you go and watch a band in the town and it's a cover band and they play your favourite band's favourite song and they ruin it, your favourite band are still all right. Doesn't he change who they are? So yes, we might play Jesus badly at times, but it does not change who God is. And that's a great message to try and get out. But you know, Jesus is called true because Jesus is exactly who he claims to be. He's not like us, and he's definitely not like that car salesman that we saw at the start of the sermon. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, he means it. And when he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, he means it. Now, I don't know about you, but I really struggle with this. I so want to be faithful, but sometimes I make promises that I just can't keep. I want to be true, but sometimes the gap between where I am and where God wants me to be is absolutely massive. And that's the thing about being faithful and true. It's so much harder than we think. We want to be like Jesus. We long to be like Jesus, but sadly we keep falling short. We want to be reliable, but sadly we can let people down. But the amazing thing about the gospel is that Jesus doesn't expect us to be anywhere near perfect before we come to him. He comes to us in our unfaithfulness, and he makes us faithful. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John's gospel, John chapter 4. Her life was a mess. But you know, Jesus didn't condemn her. He offered her living water, and he offered her a new life. She left there from that encounter with Jesus deeply changed. Or think about Peter. He promised Jesus that he would never deny him. But when the pressure was on, he denied him. He denied him 3 times. Peter was unfaithful to Jesus when it mattered most. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't reject Peter. He didn't do what many of us might do and say, "Ah, see, you let me down, so I'm going to hold that against you." He did not do that. In fact, we read in Luke's gospel, it tells us that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He was deeply troubled because he denied Jesus. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he offered Peter forgiveness. And that's what the faithful and true Jesus does for us as well. He doesn't expect us to be anywhere near perfect. He knows that we'll mess up, we'll make mistakes, we'll let people down. But he loves us anyway. And he wants us to shape us into the people that he created us to be. Preached on this a few weeks ago. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So just simple forgiveness, knowing what we've done wrong, taking it to God, asking for forgiveness, and we'll be cleansed, we'll be forgiven. You know, and that's the reason that Jesus is called faithful and true in Revelation. It's not just about some future event. It's to remind us that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how many times we fail, Jesus remains faithful and true. So when we are going through hard times, we can wonder if God really cares. Know this, Jesus is faithful and true. When we lose someone that we love, and the pain is so overwhelming that it's threatening to consume us completely, Jesus is faithful and true. When we doubt and we wonder whether this Christian life is really worth it, Jesus is faithful and true. When we've messed up badly and we think that God could never use someone like us, Jesus is faithful and true. And you know, one day everyone will recognize Jesus for who he truly is, the faithful and true rider on a white horse who will be acknowledged by all creation. But you know, we do not have to wait until then. We can bow our knees to him today, and we can trust in his faithfulness today. And you know, when we do that, something amazing happens. We start to become more like him. His faithfulness begins to work in us, and his truth begins to transform us. It's a process. I've seen this happen in so many people's lives. I've seen people who are once unreliable, very unreliable, become trustworthy. I've seen people who are once dishonest, very dishonest, become honest and people of integrity. You know, in my previous work, as you know, working with prisoners, I've seen some of Scotland's most persistent offenders who were in and out of prison more times than I've had hot dinners, couldn't even get one day clean and sober. I've seen them completely transformed, working for God, productive members of society, having their own families, running their own businesses. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And we do not do it in our own strength. I spoke about that a few Sundays ago, the process of how God completes the good work that he starts in us. So when we surrender our lives to the faithful and true Jesus, he begins to work in us to make us more like him. And this is all done through the power and the agency of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, let me ask this question. Who are we trusting in? And what are we building our lives on? Two questions. Who are we trusting in? And what are we building our lives on? I wonder, are we trusting in the things that promise a lot but deliver very little? Or are we trusting in the one who is called faithful and true? Maybe you're here this morning. You might have never really surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe you're trying to live in your own strength or your own terms. Maybe you're finding that that's not working. You're sort of realizing that you need something, someone else, somebody more reliable than yourself. Well, you know, Jesus is always calling us to trust in him. He's calling us to believe that he is who he said he is, the faithful and true one who loves us and he gave his life for us. He's calling us, he's always calling us to stop trying to save ourselves and to let him save us. Or maybe you're here this morning, you've been a Christian for a while, but you might be struggling with life. Life has been hard. Life's shown up. You've been disappointed. You've been let down by people that you trusted. And you might be wondering if Jesus really is faithful and true. Well, let me remind you all of what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:13 that we preached on as part of this summer series. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So even when we are unfaithful, or other people are unfaithful to us, Jesus is faithful. And even when we doubt, he stays true. The Jesus who humbled himself to go to a cross for us is the same Jesus who rides the white horse as the faithful and true conqueror. And he didn't save us just to abandon us. He didn't start a good work in us just to leave us unfinished. He is faithful and true. And he will complete what he started in our lives. So this morning, let's live in the light of who Jesus really is. Let's trust in his faithfulness when we can't trust in our own. Let's rest in his truth when we're confused about everything else in this chaotic world around us. You know, this for me is the only thing that makes sense. In the chaos, you only need to put the television on for 30 seconds to see the chaos. This is the only thing that makes sense. So let's follow his example of humility and service, knowing that he who humbled himself has been lifted up, and one day we will share in his glory. And what a day that will be. And may we know that the faithful and true Jesus is not just coming back someday, but he's here with us right now, working in us and getting us ready for the day that we will see him face to face. And I say, what a day that will be. As the Matt Redman song goes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll stand and shout the victory. So until that day, let's trust in the one who loved us enough to die for us and will love us enough to see us through the many ups and downs that this life brings. This side of the glory. Amen. Let us again come before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are faithful and true. In a world full of empty promises and broken trust, you are the one that we can always depend on. Lord, would you help us to trust in your faithfulness when we are struggling with doubt? And would you help us to rest in your truth when we are confused by the lies of this world? Lord, we pray for those who are here this morning who might not know you personally. And we ask that you would draw them to yourself and help them to see that you are the answer to their deepest needs. Oh God, for those of us here who do know you, would you help us to live in a way that reflects your character? Would you make us more faithful and more true? And would you use us to show others what you are like? We pray for our church family here at Craigieville. Lord, would you help us to support one another and keep each other going toward love and good service? And Lord, we lift up to you the struggles and challenges that we are all facing in our own personal lives. Lord, you know each burden and each fear. Yet, Lord, we trust in your faithfulness to see us through. We ask all of this in your faithful and true name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Amen. As we now come to prepare for the sacrament of Holy